Riding Home with Steve Jackson on the Drive. News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
All right, very cool. Well, he made it, and we're very excited. We talked to him a few weeks ago on the phone. He is performing tonight at Sally Tomatoes in Rohnert Park. The one, and I mean the one and only, Gilbert Gottfried is in the studio with us, my friend. My friend. We've never met until just now, but God bless you, and thanks for coming in.
So do you store meat in this place or something?
It is a meat locker.
Yeah.
I know it's cold. We have Well, you put your jacket back
and,
on.
And why exactly is it this cold?
Because I can't seem to think unless it's really cold.
And this is you thinking?
No. Yeah. This is me drinking. I meant to say I can't drink if it's unless it's cold. I know it's cold in here. But you've done the big TV shows where it's always cold.
Not like this. No. No, the Letterman show is like the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, compared to this, yeah.
Yeah.
So how the hell are you, man?
Oh, just great.
you were on with us on the phone recently, and one of the things we talked about was that you started at the age of like 15.
Oh, yes.
Doing some comedy stuff. I mean, who does that?
An idiot. Yeah, basically. Somebody too stupid to do anything else, basically.
So you started in open mic nights as a kid.
Yeah, and I guess it shows how, like, when you're that age, you have no realistic, there's no logic to anything you do.
Yeah, exactly. And then it happens again when you're our age now.
Yeah. Well, by then it's senility.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's like when you're that age, you don't think in terms of, wait a minute, a career, I could actually, the chance of having a career in show business is insanely slim.
But you think it might not be.
Yeah. You think it's like, and I can only imagine what my parents thought, you know, because it's like, basically, it would be like your kid saying, oh, I'm going to make a living by buying a lottery ticket and making a few billion dollars off it.
Good work, son. We're proud
of
you.
Yes, yeah.
Your mom and I back you all the way. Wow. Gilbert Gottfried is with us. Don't miss it tonight at Sally Tomatoes in Rohnert Park. In fact, you should go to sallytomatoes.com if you haven't gotten tickets yet. You better jump on it. Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
I've never seen it, but I've heard some things about it.
Yes, it's a show on television.
All right. Yeah. Well, I don't.
I was there right after the original cast left.
Yeah.
Right after Lorne Michaels and the original.
And that woman took over, and it was the worst section of Saturday Night Live ever.
Yeah, it was a terrible time. And the thing was also the time period to be on it. It was like, I always say, like, it would be like if in the middle of Beatlemania, you said John, Paul, George, and Ringo are gone, and we've got these other four schmucks, and just pretend that they're the Beatles.
The Beatles!
Yeah.
Here's an example. Bob, Sam, Charlie, and Phil. Yeah.
It's like, because back then, even before we were on the air, they were already panning us, saying, how dare they continue the show
without the originals?
Yeah, and now I have no idea who's on the show now. But
it's been 40 years. They survived somehow. Gabe Molina's with us, Gabe.
I'm curious. Weren't you forced to play a corpse on Saturday Night Live at one point?
I hated the writers. The writers hated me. And to show how much they hated me, there was a funeral sketch. And rather than just put a mannequin in it, they put me in the coffin. Yeah, so, they couldn't stand me.
I know you're a you're friends with Norm MacDonald. You were on his podcast recently.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I love
yeah,
Norm.
Yeah,
you must have a lot of commiserating about SNL between the
oh,
two of you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I don't know. He was... See, although he may have had a miserable time, but at least his season was more respected, I think. I mean, now to say the bad season of Saturday Night Live is kind of like saying the issue of Playboy with a naked girl on it. It yeah. was like, you know, it's... Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried tonight at Sally Tomatoes in Rohnert Park, SallyTomatoes.com. Get your tickets. This is going to be great.
But Norm did say to me the last time I spoke to him,
so, you know, you're doing, you don't do a lot of stand-up, do you, these days?
Oh, I do. I do more than ever.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I'm clueless. Thank you for coming in and resetting it for me, because I just figured you were doing a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, but. Not me, no. I also
you're Lewis Black, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I also do a podcast.
Of course,
Gilbert
we talked about
Gottfried's
that.
Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
Which is great.
On GilbertGottfried.com. And right this week is Chevy Chase.
Oh, my God.
I think next week is Artie Lang.
Love Artie Lang, yeah. Is Chevy okay? I saw him on the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night
Live.
No,
he didn't look good on there.
No, and he didn't seem to quite know where he was.
Yeah.
But I go through that every day sitting here. I don't know. Look at this. Here's a photo that our operations manager and head of programming just brought in. His name is Jim Murphy, and apparently this is from 2000. Is that your wife, or it was your wife in 2000?
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
Where did Jim go?
What?
Well, it's pointed to the wrong woman.
Oh. Well, I moved the sticky note, so I don't know which one was your wife.
See, well, the sticky note was there for a reason.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I moved it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because it's got an arrow. Yeah.
I hate
yeah.
sticky notes.
That's...
Oh, is that your... That was your wife in 2000, or is she still your wife?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, what?
Yes, yes, still. He's
still?
Yes.
Wow. Well, you're a lucky dude.
See?
That's... I don't know where this was taken, but Jim Murphy, our boss, is in that. That's very cool.
Did she keep her last name?
Oh, no. No, mine. That's the way they still... They tried to change that for a while in, like, the late 60s or early 70s.
Yeah. She didn't want to be associated with Lenny Kravitz anymore.
No, oh,
Jim Murphy's here. Come on, man.
Or the next-door neighbors on Bewitched.
Gilbert, yeah. Jim Murphy, our boss.
Hey, Gilbert, how are you?
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
And you're still married.
To the lovely Dara Kravitz. Yeah.
You wouldn't happen to have a couple of blankets to throw on in here, would you?
He's very cold in here.
You're in the Steve Jackson studio, Gilbert. The average temperature in here is about the same as the frozen tundra.
Yeah.
So you're underdressed. I mean, Mike has a standard memo he sends out. Your people clearly didn't read it.
You
need a parka, at least.
And a hoodie.
Blankets wouldn't help.
So, Jim, explain this.
Okay,
this must have been in LA.
As you know,
LA.
Steve, I worked in San Jose, as you did.
Oh, so,
that was at KEZR in San Jose.
We both worked there.
Yes, and I'm guessing it was probably 2000. Could have been 98, could have been 01, I don't know. And that was at an Imogen Heap concert at Villa Montalvo.
I remember Villa Montalvo.
Imogen Heap was part of a band at that time called Fru Fru. And Dara was the promotional rep with the label, and she set this whole... It was one of these great radio station shows where they're promoting an act, and you get to have this fabulous listener appreciation party at a gorgeous venue, Villa Montalvo. And Dara brought Imogen in, and we had a terrific show. And Dara and I and a few co-workers had dinner afterwards, and all she could talk about was Gilbert Gottfried. That was the entire subject of the dinner. So... I certainly hope I have the right couple together. Because if not, this is one of the worst stories of all time.
No, I'm actually Bronson Pinchot.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay, yeah. I'll be back next Thursday, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's beautiful. Thanks, Jim.
Now, I guess if the boss is around, unfortunately, you can't.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, we got a blanket. We got a blanket.
They're loading Gilbert up with clothes here in the studio.
But Gilbert, you have a special called Dirty Jokes.
Yes.
And you are fantastic at telling dirty jokes. And we have the FCC overlording us right now, so you cannot tell any. But what I love about your dirty jokes and clean jokes is the economy of them. There's a great joke where the punchline is, the wife says, stop trying to put words in my mouth.
Yes.
But the one that we can recall on the air is... It's the patient that goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, I got bad news for you. You have cancer, and you have Alzheimer's. And the patient says,
thank God I don't have cancer.
What? Now, that is just a fantastic, two-line joke.
Let me try to say punchlines of filthy jokes that are clean punchlines.
We used to do this.
Yeah.
It would be like, give us your favorite punchline to a dirty joke, and we'd do it on the air on other radio shows.
Let's do it here. That's it. I'm calling the police.
There you go. That's a good one.
And, okay, I'll do the dishes.
I swear to God, for years in radio, we'd do, okay, it's time for punchlines with dirty jokes. And people would call up and go, my name's Johnson, too. And we'd all go back in.
If you think that's bad, you should see how he gets the holes in the donuts.
Yeah, exactly. That's great stuff.
But what I wonder, Gilbert, is this a practice of yours that you try to make jokes as short and economical as possible?
No, sometimes I stretch out bits to the breaking point.
Your famous aristocrat joke is an example of that.
Well, we talked about that when he was on the phone with us a few weeks ago. One of my favorite parts of the Aristocrats, which is also one of my favorite movies of all time, it was Gilbert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I have to ask about the 9/11 thing, and if you get asked about this in every interview, I'm sure, but were you nervous going into that? Were you thinking to yourself, I could get in trouble with this joke?
It was weird. I don't usually think that way, and that's how I get in so much trouble. It's like it was shortly after, just a couple of days, and it was in New York, and it was like it was just a weird feeling around the planet, let alone just being there in New York.
Yeah.
So I figured I wanted to be the first one to make some bad taste. And then first I started mildly. I said, tonight I'll be using my Muslim name, Hasan Bin Laden. And
that's not bad.
Yeah, that's not good. Bad at all.
No.
And then I figured I wanted to go further and be break the ice here. And I said, I have to leave early tonight. I have to fly to L.A. I couldn't get a direct flight. We have to make a stop at the Empire State Building.
I remember that.
And people were booing and hissing and gasping. And one guy yelled out, too soon, which I thought meant I didn't take a long enough pause between the setup and the punchline. And...
He was critiquing your timing.
Yeah. take a beat of five before you do
comedy.
It.
It's timing. Yes. Godspeed, what the hell's wrong with you?
So, what goes through your head when you tell a joke like this and you get a reaction like that?
If you had told me I was at that point I was on stage for 200 years, I would believe you. then I figured I can't lose them any further, and I go into the Aristocrat, and that's all incest and bestiality.
Yeah, it is.
And they're howling and applauding and cheering and stamping their feet, And it's so it means that terrorist attack, bad taste, incest and bestiality, good taste.
Ain't that America? Ain't that America? Well, I want to say thanks for being the first person to make a joke about that, because I think humor really healed us a lot post 9/11. I remember
it did.
The Onion came out and all their headlines were great. It was like hijackers having a fun time in hell, and you know, U.S. vows to defeat whoever it is we're at war with. You know.
And, of course, the 72 Virgins became a huge deal.
Exactly.
Humor-wise.
David Cross put out an album with a lot of post-9/11 stuff that was very cathartic, I think, for a lot of people.
So I think that guy in your audience who yelled too soon, maybe you were the first guy. And
oh, yes.
Someone had to do it, though, is what I'm saying. Someone had to break the ice. So
Gilbert Gottfried is with us. You better get online at SallyTomatoes.com. He's playing tonight in Rohnert Park. Of all places, the book, and you and I talked about this when you were on the phone a few weeks ago, Rubber Balls and Liquor.
Yes.
My favorite book name ever. Please, talk about it.
That was based on, that's the punchline of a children's joke. Like the first,
really?
Yeah.
It's not one of the punchlines to a sex joke or a dirty joke.
It's a two-person joke, like where you have the other kid say the other part. So everything I say, you say rubber balls and liquor. I got up today.
Rubber balls and liquor?
I went for a walk.
Rubber balls and liquor.
What are you going to do with your girlfriend tonight?
Rub her balls and liquor.
See?
Yeah!
See?
We're talking about tennis balls and you know, whiskey.
Yes, yes. Get drunk.
Well, no, it's spelled rubber balls and L-I-Q.
Yes.
Yeah, it's liquor. And that's, you know, I remember going, we were on the road in a band in Texas in the 70s, and there was a place that said they had it was a poker place.
Oh, I know
this. Yeah, I know this too. I know this too.
But I actually saw it, you know.
It did exist.
This one, they probably heard the joke and put it on. But we were traveling through Texas, and I went, oh, my God, I got to get out of Texas. And it said liquor in the front, poker in the rear. And yes.
Speaking of other things we shouldn't be discussing on the air.
Well, luckily, we're not on the air. We just fake this. We're not...
Now, I was very amused by a video recently of you reading Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
Adding your own distinctive erotic touch to a sensual
YouTube
novel.
Or wherever you
now
can
I know
me.
What I'm doing tonight.
Yeah.
Really?
It'll get you hot and bothered, Steve. It'll get you hot and bothered.
Yeah.
Now, have you read that whole book?
No. it's like so awful writing. Yeah. It's like that kind of thing where you go, wait, women are turned on by this. This is like, to a man, you know, you read like one sentence and you go, you know, what crap this is.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that, that women can read it on the train and walking down the street. And with men, like you read, even if you read like Esquire, that's like, oh, what's he reading? Something filthy? You know?
So how did this come about? Were you this video?
They just asked me to read passages of 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, I got to see this.
Yeah, it's on. I think it's on YouTube.
It is,
still.
Yeah.
And it's called Gilbert Gottfried Reads 50 Shades of Grey. It's an imaginative title. And everyone likes the way I scream out clitoris.
Well,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I scream it out every day. In fact, we start the show with clitoris!
Yeah.
And now the drive. Yeah. Gilbert, my God, we're almost out of time, but God bless you for coming in before your gig tonight at Sally Tomatoes at Rotor Park.
And I can't feel my leg.
It's right cold now, in here. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Alan, Gilbert Gottfried's amazing colossal podcast.
It's a great one.
GilbertGottfried.com.
Yeah. What's I think I asked you this a few weeks ago when you were on the phone, but what is the future of Mr. Gottfried?
Are you doing a Sieg Heil now?
No, I'm putting sorry, my yes. left arm just flies into the air for no reason.
He does that to every Jewish guest. I hate to say.
So, Mr. Gottfried, what is in your future, Sieg Heil? What is that? But I don't remember if I asked you this, but what's besides tonight, you're at Sally Tomatoes.
And nothing. My career's over.
All right. There you heard it first right here. He'll be selling insurance.
Yeah. Nope. I certainly won't.
Okay. Well, Mike tells me you're at the San Jose Improv this weekend.
Yes.
After you're here. And again, tonight at Sally Tomatoes, folks. SallyTomatoes.com. You got to check out Mr. Gilbert Gottfried. And I thank Pure Luxury Limo and everything. We thought you'd be in a regular limo.
It was weird. It's like a house.
It's like a whorehouse on wheels.
Yes.
With the lights.
It's a whorehouse without the whores.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is where you go, oh, something's missing here. It's like going into a whorehouse and going, well, it's got the ambience of a whorehouse. It's got the smell of a whorehouse. It has the stains of a whorehouse, but it just doesn't have the whores. Yes.
Gilbert Gottfried, bless you, my son. You are the greatest. Thanks to Gabe Moline and everybody else. We got to get out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Drive.
This is 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO, Santa Rosa, Petaluma, Rohnert Park, Sonoma County's News Talk.